Our next case for this morning is Dmitry Djorov Ivanov against Eric Holder, Attorney General. Mr. Burton?
May it please the Court, my name is Justin Burton, and I am here on behalf of Dmitry Djorov in his petition for review of the denial from the Board of Immigration Appeals relating to his motion to reopen. Hearing the arguments earlier this morning, of course, the first issue that we must address is jurisdiction, especially in light of Fukana and the goings-ons before the Supreme Court of the United States. We would argue that this case falls outside of the scope of Fukana and that there is a legal argument. I think Wang v. Mukasey specified certain issues that can be brought before this court when it relates to motions to reopen. That's not necessarily a discretionary decision. Wang specifically stated, all the court can do in cases like this is decide whether the board committed an error of law or misinterpretation of a statute or regulation. And that's precisely what we have here. We have a case where the Board of Immigration Appeals contravened their own or Congress's own regulations in determining this motion to reopen. Specifically, we must look at this motion to reopen in terms of 8 CFR section 208.18b1 and b2. B1 specifically points out in cases where they can be reopened and brought before the Immigration Court and also the Board of Immigration Appeals, where aliens in proceedings on or before March 22, 1999, precisely in Mr. Djorov's case, this case was pending, on or after March 22, 1999. In Mr. Djorov's case, his case was pending before the Board of Immigration Appeals for a period of not less than 6 years at the time that these regulations came out and on March 22, 1999. It specifically states, an alien who is in exclusion, deportation, or removal proceedings on or after March 22, 1999 may apply for withholding of removal under 208.16C, and if applicable, may be considered for deferral of removal under 208.17A. There's no limitations, no restrictions, no requirements on timeliness for this purpose. It's a mandatory form of relief and a mandatory grant if determined that Mr. Djorov would be subject to torture if returned back to his home country. The regulation can also be read in terms of B2, to determine whether restrictions should be read into B1. B2 of the regulations specifically state for people with final orders prior to March 22, 1999, and that requires certain restrictions for purposes of filing the subject motion. The motion had to be filed in that case prior to June 21, 1999, and the evidence sought to be offered establishes a prima facie case that the applicant's removal must be withheld or deferred under 208.16C.
This all has to do with when the Convention Against Torture actually was implemented, right after the United States adhered to it.
And that's correct. And to give an opportunity to those who had their case pending before the board and...
In a sense, to add this claim, right?
And that's correct. And I think Congress and certainly the implementing regulations came into existence knowing the number of these people who had sought asylum initially or withholding of removal would also be eligible for CAT relief. Mm-hmm. The respondent in the government in this case brings up that he should have filed an application for asylum or CAT relief along with the motion to reopen. However, Mr. Djorov was seeking a Convention Against Torture based on his asylum application. It's all wrapped into the same application. It's all wrapped in the I-589 asylum application filed with the Immigration Court or Board of Immigration Appeals. In our motion, we specifically incorporated the record into the motion in light of not having copies. Mr. Djorov was detained at the time, and to be able to file a Freedom of Information Act request either with the board or USCIS or ICE would take several months to obtain.
Of course, that's the way the board and the IJs now routinely consider asylum applications. Typically, they're considered as asylum, withholding, and CAT.
All in the same breath, Your Honor.
Yeah.
And in considering it now, and I think this case falls into a narrow subset of cases that a person sought asylum, withholding, of removal, but didn't have that opportunity to seek CAT relief.
So your request came 8 years later, right? I guess you're saying that it could be 20 or 30 years later.
And that's how the regulation's written. And I'm not looking outside the regulation. I'm looking at the regulation itself that indicates you can go forward and file this cat relief. I think.
Well, what inspired him here was he got detained.
Well, and that's part of it. I think at that point he certainly was able to seek assistance by counsel. At a certain point, he was represented by counsel before the Board of Immigration Appeals, but ultimately that ended in 2000.
I just have a lot of trouble with the idea that this would be open-ended forever.
I think I agree with that. However, in a case where the regulations point out it is open-ended, or it seems to be open-ended, and there is no 90-day requirement, there is no timeliness requirement, if we wanted to limit it to certain cases where you have to file within a year or 2 years or 3 years, at least open it up for the possibility of amending these regulations. The regulations haven't been amended to allow it.
Well, perhaps the real difference is simply one between, you know, you're raising a legal point about whether it can be raised, and perhaps the answer to that is yes, and there's no jurisdictional problem. Whether the board abuses its discretion in denying such a late motion is a completely different issue, and the board might well be within its discretion to say, you know, at some point too long is too long.
However, in this case, Your Honor, it found that it was bound by another regulation whereby they couldn't look at the CAT claim in this case. They said they're bound by the timeliness standards, you have to file within 90 days. Specifically, the board held that the board erred in indicating that the motion to reopen had to be filed timely, a new application form of relief had to be filed, that there had to be a change in country conditions to extend out the timeliness of filing a motion to reopen, or showing that there was a worsening of country conditions. They also required that there was he was required to show a prima facie showing of for CAT relief. I think he did. I think he did below before the immigration judge. I think he did in the evidence presented along with in the motion to reopen. However, in Mr. Jorov's case, he was found credible before the IJ. He testified as to the severe beatings, to the burning of his barn, the poisoning of his cattle, to the threatening.
Before you get into all of that, I mean, I guess the way I read the board's order of March 19, 2009, first they say the motion is untimely, which, as I say, one could understand as simply a discretionary ruling on the board. It's too late. Even if it is untimely, you still have this, let's say, second layer of second chance, which is if there's been changed country conditions. And I know they say the time limitation, but, you know, reading this as an application of some reasonable administrative structure for the board, the board is essentially saying we don't see anything to excuse this length of time. We don't see the changed country conditions. And they also, of course, at the end, indicate they don't see enough evidence to justify CAT protection.
It also doesn't show that the board even considered 8 CFR 208.18b1. There was no indication whatsoever that...
Cited, that's true.
And there was no indication they even considered whether it's timely or untimely, or whether it's required by that regulation. Our arguments are that it isn't required under that regulation of B1.
But if that's a question of law, then we should be able to review that regardless of whether the board happened to cite it or not. Our review would normally be de novo of legal questions.
And that is our argument, Your Honor.
Okay.
I would like to reserve at this time.
Mr. Goring.
Morning. May it please the Court. Alex Goring on behalf of government, Your Honors. Your Honors, in this case, what we have is a petitioner who seeks review of the board's denial of his motion to reopen, which was filed more than 8 years after the board's August 2nd, 2000 final order of removal.
But a good bit of that time, this whole case comes from the old era in which cases languished for a really long time before the board and before the various other authorities. It's a 1994 IJ decision.
That's correct. The immigration judge's decision was in 1994. Petitioner, through counsel, filed a notice of appeal, a brief in support of his appeal, and the board ruled on that in 2000. I would note in this case, first of all, in looking at the CAT regulations, it's important to note that Congress enacted or ratified the treaty that implemented the Convention Against Torture in 1998, while this petitioner's appeal was pending before the board, while he had counsel. Further, in that October 21st, 1998 implementation, Congress directed the Attorney General to issue regulations to implement the legislation. The former INS did this in February of 1999, again, while this petitioner's proceedings were pending, while he had counsel. Petitioner had over 16 months from the implementation of these regulations in February 21st, 1999, until August of 2000, when the board issued its decision in his case. At any point during those 16 months, he could have said to the board, please remand my case. I'd like to seek this new form of relief, which is now available to me. Yet
he could have, but I have this question for you. It's very often the case when Congress passes something major like this, and certainly the CAT's implementation, it's a treaty, but the same sort of thing. So I'm thinking, for example, the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act. The Congress made it very clear that you had a year after the effective date of that act if you were one of the people who in the past had not been subject to the statute of limitations. And I don't see anything that clear saying now CAT is in effect, now the Attorney General's regulations, everybody in the world out there, you've got 1 year or something.
Well, Your Honor, I think looking at the regulations, as counsel noted, it sets forth two specific categories of people. Those who had final order of removal on or before March 21st, 1999, and the regulations implemented a June 21st, 1999 filing deadline for their motions to reopen. And then it said anyone else who was in proceedings may apply for it. And I think what was...
And that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's just badly drafted regulations, but it's not that crisp language that you get in AEDPA that says you've got a year after this effective date.
I think implicit in the regulation was that because you were in proceedings, you could apply while you're in proceedings. I would note that the Second Circuit, the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, has addressed the very issue presented here, where an alien attempted to skirt the time and numerical deadlines and found that they could not, and they were subject to the 90, that they had to apply while they were in proceedings or file a timely motion to reopen within 90 days after the final order of removal, which is what the government would argue that this court should do as well. In this case, I would also note, in addition to the 16 months the petitioner had, which at any point in time he could have filed a motion to remand to apply for CAT relief, he also had the additional 90 days. At any point in time after the August 2nd, 2000 decision, he had 90 days to file what would have been a timely motion to reopen, and he did not. And further, as was pointed out previously, it seems that in this case the board basically issued four alternative reasons for denying this case. Your motion to reopen wasn't timely, you failed to show changed country conditions, you didn't submit an application, and you didn't show prima facie eligibility. As for the changed country conditions part of that analysis, which is an exception to the 90-day filing deadline, petitioner conceded in their reply brief that they weren't even trying to show that. I think that alone is dispositive of this case, in that he's saying, I'm not even attempting to meet this filing deadline because I don't have to. And I would also note his argument that because the CAT was the Convention Against Torture was a new form of relief, that's what he was seeking, but the regulations specifically for changed country conditions point out that it must be based on changes in the alien's home country. Clearly, the implementation of legislation in the United States isn't a change in what happened in his home country. And furthermore, that the CAT regulations were implemented before the board's decision, so this couldn't have been new or changed country conditions, even if this were to be considered under that same category, which it clearly is not. I would submit also that the board properly found that there was no prima facie case for the Convention Against Torture relief. As this court found in Dandan versus Ashcroft, a 2003 decision, where a petitioner had been held without food, beaten, detained, interrogated for 3 days, that didn't rise to the level of Convention Against Torture protection. Petitioner wasn't detained here. He did suffer a beating. But again, the Convention Against Torture was designated only to apply to the most extreme forms of harm and nothing less. Comparing this case to the Dandan case, I would submit that the boards clearly didn't abuse their discretion in finding as much. I suppose if the court has no further questions for me.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your
Honor. Anything further? All right, thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.